All right, so to get started this morning, I'm going to need a little bit of participation from everyone in the room. And so here's what I need you to do. I need you to think of your favorite Bible verse, right? The one that you've got memorized, the one that you love, one that's meant a lot to you over the years, right? Just any verse. I just want you to get it in your mind, and I'm hoping to sort of prove a point here. So play along with me, and I hope this works out the way that I'm thinking that it's going to work out. Once you've got a verse in your head, I just want you to put your hand in the air. And I'm not going to call on anybody. Nobody's going to have to say it out loud, right? We're going to sort of narrow down where everybody's favorite verse is through the process of elimination. So if someone's around you without their hand up, reach over, pull their hand up for them, and when I tell you to, go ahead and put it back down, all right? I mean, don't hurt them when you pull it up, but just make sure their hand's up, okay? So here's the deal. If your verse, the one that you're thinking of, is in the New Testament, keep your hand up. If it's in the Old Testament, put your hand down, right? All you Psalms and Proverbs people, you're out, right? Your verses are good, but you're out, right? So a New Testament only, right? Okay, now, this is going to be a small group, I think. If your verse that you're thinking of, the one that you like, the one that God has placed on your mind right now, is in the book of Philippians, keep your hand up. Everybody else down. There we go. The Terrys are in. Okay, good. All right, we've got a few Philippians in here. Okay, good. Now, here's the deal, right? We're going to narrow this down even farther. Are there some in the balcony, too, with hands still up? Wave your hand at me if you're up there in Philippians. Okay, a few in the middle. Good. All right. Oh, a lot of Philippians people. Okay, good. All right, this is going to narrow it down a little bit more. If your favorite verse, right, we're in the book of Philippians, is in Philippians chapter 2, keep your hand up. Every other chapter, Philippians, put it down. Anybody? Amy? Okay, one. Anybody up top? Wave at me. Amy, it's me and you. Right? You got Philippians 2? Oh, what, there's more? Okay, good. All right, so here's the deal. If your verse, who else? Wave at me. I can't see. God, okay, I see you. I'm sorry. I couldn't see you. It's dark there and it's bright here, but I got you now, right? So there's a couple of us. My favorite verse is in Philippians chapter 2 as well, right? And so I'm loving this. So here's the deal. If your favorite verse is somewhere in Philippians chapter 2 between verses 19 and 30, keep your hand up. Is it down? Here's the point. I think this worked. Y'all helped me. I appreciate that. I don't know anybody whose favorite verse is in the passage we're going to be studying this morning, right? Nobody's favorite verse is in this passage, right? And in fact, it's a lot of times a passage that's just skipped, right? That the people don't slow down long enough to read. And one of the things that I'm hoping happens as we open God's Word today is this, is that we're reminded that no matter where we find ourselves in God's Word, that we would slow down long enough to see what God has for us. Right, if you've got a Bible, go ahead and open up to that passage, Philippians chapter 2. We're going to be in verses 19 through 30 right in there. And at first glance, this is what you get. When you look at this passage, it looks like all we've got here are Paul's travel plans. Right, he's talking about who's coming and who's going. He talks about when he's hoping to be able to go back to the church in Philippi. And listen, it's good stuff. It's stuff that's needed and necessary. Paul couldn't pick up the phone and call that church and tell them what was going on, right? There was no way for him to text or send an email, anything like that. The only way he was able to communicate these really important things with these churches that he worked with was through writing letters just like this. And so he's put that in the middle of this letter, right? But it's more than just that, because also in these travel plans, we see Paul lifting up two men, Timothy and Epaphroditus. We're only going to get to one today, but he's lifting up two men here, showing them as examples of how to live the Christian life. If we think about this letter that we've gone through for the past several weeks, I mean, think about what's been going on. At the end of chapter 1, we see live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus. At the beginning of chapter 2, we have this encouragement and this instruction to in humility consider others better than ourselves, to look out for the needs of other people. Then we get Jesus put up there as our ultimate model to follow, and then we're taught to do everything without grumbling or complaining, to shine like stars in the heaven. All of these different things he's been talking about, the Christian life, he puts Jesus up as the model of what it looks like. And now, in these verses, we see two men, right? Two ordinary men that are following Jesus. Two ordinary men that are following the model that Jesus has given us. And I hope and pray that man, it impacts you the way that it impacted me, because these verses discuss their lives, the way they lived, in a way that hopefully encourages us, but not just encourages us, challenges us to live the life that God's Word has laid out for us right here in Philippians chapters 1 and 2. Because I think a lot of times when we look at people, when we see how they've done it, we're able to do it as well, right? We just need to see it, and when we see it, something clicks, and we get it, we can understand it, and we can begin to do the same thing. The first time that I went to England was to lead a mission trip over to a school that's in England, and the group that we were working with in England asked us to bring a group of about 14 people. They said, no more can fit. We can only handle 14. And by the way, we want all 14, except for you and maybe one other adult, to be teenagers, right? We don't want anybody there but teenagers. And I said, listen, we've got a great group, a great team. There's several adults that want to participate in this as well. Why not half and half? And they said, no, we just want teenagers. And so now I'm a little bit curious. I'm saying, okay, what's the deal? Why do you only want teenagers to be a part of this trip? And they said, well, we'll tell you. We want you guys to work with teenagers in our school. And here's the deal. The teenagers that you're going to be working with in England have never seen in their life another Christian teenager. They've never seen someone their age that knows Jesus. They've never seen someone their age that walks with God. Their grandparents maybe, or their grandparents' friends maybe, but they've never seen, and they couldn't comprehend the fact that a 15-year-old or a 17-year-old or a 13-year-old could know Jesus and walk with Jesus. They wanted us to bring real live examples of other teenagers that were walking with Jesus, because they knew and understood that when we can see something, we know it's possible. When we can see something, we can begin to live something, right? And right here in these verses, starting in verse 19, we can see what it looks like for a person, just like us, an ordinary person, to walk with Jesus. Look at verse 19. God's word says this: I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by the good news of you. For I have no one like him. That's important. I have no one like Timothy who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth. How as a son with a father, he has served me in the gospel. And I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. Right? This first example that we can see so we can follow is Timothy. Right? From God's word, we know that Timothy was a guy that was raised by his mother and his grandmother to love Jesus. The Bible says that from the time that he was young, they made this spiritual investment in him. They taught him God's word, they walked with him, and they showed him what it looked like to walk with Jesus. And now as an adult, we see that it's paid off, right? That spiritually, Timothy is responding to what he was taught when he was young, and he's walking with Christ. He's serving people. He's serving the church. And in this letter, we see right here that he's going to be sent back to Philippi once Paul figures out what's going on with his circumstances. Remember, as Paul writes this, he's in chains, right? He's in prison. He's on trial, and once that's sorted out, or once it's done, we see in the letter that he's going to send Timothy over to Philippi. He wants to hold him there because Timothy's been very instrumental in his life and in his ministry, especially now as Paul sits in prison. And as the church got that letter, they needed that information, right? They needed to know what was going on here. But these verses, like I said, show so much more than that. The church in Philippi and the church here, right? The church of Champion Forest, as we look at these verses, we are shown how to live the life that Paul has described all throughout Philippians chapter 1 and Philippians chapter 2. And a lot of that is by looking right here at Timothy. Look back in your Bibles at verse 20. What does God's word say about Timothy? It says, "For I have no one like Timothy." Right? He stands alone. He'll be genuinely concerned for your welfare. Everyone else seeks their own interests, but not those of Christ. Listen, Timothy is what? He's real, right? Timothy is the real deal. Paul says, I have no one like him who is genuine, not fake, who is genuinely concerned for other people. And if we begin to think about that, that's pretty rare, isn't it? To find someone that's genuinely concerned about the welfare of other people over their own welfare. There's a lot of people that say they care, right? There's a lot of people that might even act like they care, but right here we see that when it comes down to it, to doing the hard things, that list gets smaller and smaller and smaller. In this case, Paul says that Timothy is the only one he's got that genuinely cares for other people. There's nothing fake. Listen, Timothy loves people. And if you're taking notes, that's the first thing that I want us to pull out of Scripture this morning. As followers of Christ, we are called to love people, right? We have to love the people that God's placed in our lives. There's this notion in our culture, this word that's used a lot, authentic, right? Authentic friendship, authentic relationship, authentic community. It's a buzzword in our culture, and we talk about it a lot, and we use it a lot, and we drill down a lot. It's really, really important. Listen, that's what Paul says about Timothy right here, that he's authentic, that he's genuine, that he's real. What you see is what you get with Timothy. He's not trying to be something that he's not. He's not putting on a show for anyone else. He genuinely loves people, right? He's not fake. And we all know that fake isn't good, right? And fake a lot of times leads to frustration and disappointment. When I was in college, me and Stephen Miori and another friend of ours were watching Game 5 of the 2003 World Series and said, you know what? Let's go to Game 6. And so we finished dinner that night and got in the car and we drove to New York City from College Station, right? Just straight through all the way to New York, slept for a couple hours in a friend's apartment, and then we got up and went to the stadium. And we had to get there early because we drove 24 hours without tickets. Wasn't the smartest thing, right? We get outside the stadium, and we find a guy selling tickets on the street, and we feel like this was sort of expensive, but we felt like we hit the jackpot. He sold us tickets to the World Series for $200 a piece. Right? We're like, excellent, good. We got the tickets. We go to the gate. I'm so excited to go in. I've always wanted to see a game. Josh Beckett from Spring High School was pitching in that game in Yankee Stadium. We were pumped. And we go in, and I hand the guy at the gate my ticket, and he puts his hand out to stop me, and I looked at his face, and I could tell he felt really bad about what he was about to say. He said, I don't know how to tell you this, man, but that ticket's fake. I said, are you kidding me? He said, that ticket's fake. Nobody likes fake. Fake leaves us disappointed, right? Fake doesn't live up to what we thought that we were going to get. Fake puts us in a really bad and awkward position, right? Of course, we went out and found more tickets. It was a really expensive night. We found more tickets, and guess what? These tickets were real, right? And we got to go in. Look, there's a huge difference between fake tickets and real tickets, and there's a really big difference, by the way, between fake love and real love, right? There's just a difference. Timothy genuinely loved people. That's the model that we got. There's nothing fake in his life. There's nothing fake in his love. And we see right here to follow Jesus every day, to live the life that he's called, to serve him, to follow him. It means loving people. And it means loving people for real, not faking it. And that kind of love is going to flow from the love relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. Look back at verse 21 and see how verse 20 and 21 are tied together so well. It's like God's word doubles down on verse 20 with 21, and we see that if we're genuinely seeking the interest of Christ, what are we doing? We're loving and serving other people. We can see it right here in Timothy. He's living out an example of what we saw just a few verses earlier. Remember, he's fleshing out and showing us a model of what he has already taught here. Look back up in your Bible to verses 3 and 4 of this very same chapter, right? Because Timothy's living those verses out perfectly with his love for other people. Those verses say, do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility do what? Consider others more significant than yourselves. Look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. He's doing that. He's loving people. It's real. It's not fake. So for me and you, if we're going to follow Jesus, which is what we're called to do, we're going to love people. We're going to have a genuine care and concern for other people. And this is nothing new. This is exactly what Jesus told us back in Matthew chapter 22 when he commanded us as his followers, right? If we're disciples, if we're followers of Jesus, if that's you, we're called to love our neighbors as ourselves. Timothy did it. We can see how Timothy did it. And now for us, the only thing left to do is to go and do it. It's for me and you to love people. And listen, we've got to love people not to what we've taken care of ourselves, right? Not to what we've got things sorted out for us. We need to love people here and now, right? And we don't just love people that can give us something in return, right? That's not love. That's a transaction. We've got to be willing to love everyone no matter what they can do for us in return. We've got to love people not just when we have time or when we get around to it. Because I bet if I were to ask you if you were busy, you would say, are you busy? Most people, right? And when you say, how are you doing? They say, man, I'm really busy. And listen, we can relate. We had baseball, football, and basketball all yesterday before lunch, right? We're busy. But here's the deal. I can't, and you can't. Listen, we can't let our schedules get in the way of what God's called us to do when he's called us to love people. So let's love people, not just when it's convenient. And let's love the people that God's placed in our lives. And you might be thinking, okay, I get it. The model, the example that we have here is to love people. But which people? Right? And if we need to drill down a little bit, we can. But I think it's simple. It's all people. Right? We just love the people that God places in our life. But if you want some ideas, I'll give you some. And love the people that are in your home. Right? Let this love and care and concern for other people start with your family. Husband and wives, man, love one another. If you would say, man, it's not the fairy tale that we thought it was going to be, let me just encourage you to push aside your own interests and your own needs and do what God's calling us to do right there. Consider others better than yourself. Look out for someone else. I mean, love your husband or love your wife. Moms and dads, love your kids, right? And by loving your kids, teach them what it means to love Jesus and to walk with Jesus and to dig in the Word of God on a regular basis so they can see and know and understand the truth of God for themselves. Man, love your kids. Brothers and sisters, love one another. Kids, love your mom and dad. Honor them, cherish them, respect them. And when God calls us to love people, he doesn't leave anyone out. So love the people that you find in your home. And as you leave your home and go to work, man, love people at work. I mean, love the people that you work with, the team that God's placed you on, the office that you're in, the customers, the clients, all those kind of things. Love people in your place of business. Man, God has given every single one of us that leaves our house an incredible platform in our place of work. And I'll just tell you this. I never told my dad this. I probably should have. I don't know why. I guess I'm telling him now. I saw a great example of that in the life of my dad when I was growing up. After my sophomore year of high school, my dad decided that it would be a really good thing for me to learn how to do hard physical manual labor. And luckily for him, he had a friend that owned a tire shop, a tire warehouse. And so I spent a summer stacking truck tires in this warehouse because my dad was generous enough to get me this job. And as I'm stacking tires one day, my dad walks in to check on me as he sort of dropped by that business, and we had a conversation, and then he left. And after he left that afternoon, I'll never forget that this older man left his office and he came out and he said, hey, was that your dad? I said, yeah. And he pulled me aside and proceeded to tell me a story, right, about how my dad had loved on him and his family and how my dad had shared the gospel with him and how my dad had changed his life and his world forever. And then here's the thing. He pulled me aside and said, and I'm not the only one. He said, I have seen your dad for years love people well, not just people that were buying stuff from him, not just people that he was working with. He loved all of the people that God has brought into his life along the way. And it's been this incredible example for me, right, to see what it's like to love the people that God's placed in your life. So if you work from home, if you work in Houston, if you work in the Woodlands, maybe you're one that's lucky enough to get on an airplane, right, to fly around the world for work. Wherever it is that God sends you, man, let me encourage you to love the people that you work with. And as you do, man, the gospel will explode outwards into all of those relationships. So love people at work. Man, students, love people at school. People used to tell me this all the time, and I would get so annoyed when they would say it. But see, let me just say something along the lines of, you're not going to get this time back, right? Middle school, high school, even college, there is no other time in your life like this where you're connected to so many people. You will never know more people than you know right now as a student. You have influence. You have people. You have relationships. So at school, man, love people and love them well. When you're walking into the lunchroom, that kid that sits by himself and you know who it is, sit by him, right? Love him, invest in him, right? Follow the model that we see right here in Scripture. Stand up for someone that needs you to stand up for. Man, just love people well. And as you do, the gospel will transform your school. And by the way, and we can love people at church too, right? As we gather together as a church family, man, we've got so many opportunities to encourage one another. And just like God's Word says, man, to gather, to encourage one another, to build each other up, to pray for one another, to come alongside one another. And listen, man, loving people at church, I'm serious, it might be as easy as just looking around for someone that needs a friend. Looking around for someone that hasn't quite yet connected to other people and gotten into the body of Christ like they're hoping to be a part of it. So, man, today, just the rest of your time on campus, when we leave here and go to life groups or in the hallways, look for that person. Man, be a friend. Encourage them. Love them enough to stop and say hi and get to know them a little bit. Listen, invite them to your home to watch the Super Bowl tonight, right? Is anybody excited to see the Patriots win another? Oh, they're not in it this year, right? Good. Good. So whether you're cheering for the Chiefs or the 49ers or whether you're just in it for the commercials, man, it's a great night, a great opportunity to be a friend, right, to someone that might need one. Invite them over, right? Bring them into your home. Build that relationship. Love people well, because I'm just telling you, the model that we see in Scripture, right, following Jesus, it means something, right? It means loving people. It means investing in people, being a part of their lives. And it's not just at certain times. It's not just at certain places. It's anywhere and everywhere. These attitudes and actions can be anytime and all the time, right? What we see in Timothy, compassion and love for people brought glory to Jesus. And I'm confident that it moved people from death to life. It brought people, his love for them, I'm confident, brought people into an eternity-changing relationship with Jesus. And the same will be true of us. God will work in the same way if we're simply willing to love people. Okay? But that's not all we see in Timothy. If we look down in verse 22, I want you to notice something else. How is Timothy referred to in this letter? Verse 22, we see he's referred to as a son, right? A son in the gospel. He's not just an example of compassion and of love. We see in his example, our second point this morning is this, is that we should know people, right? That you and I should know people. And that's not N-O, people. We want people here, right? It's K-N-O-W. We should know one another. And before you put a check mark by that and say, that's done, I've got a couple of friends, I'm good. Let me tell you what I mean real quick, right? If you think about Paul writing this letter to the church and he's talking about Timothy, instead of son, he could have said so many other words. He could have called him a coworker. He could have called him a fellow missionary, a pastor, a leader, an intern, apprentice. He could have called him any work-related title that he wanted to, and it would have been completely appropriate. But he doesn't. The picture that's painted between these believers is a picture of a family, right? And that's not the only time that we see that in God's Word. Right? If we're following Jesus, not only are we going to love people and love people well, but in the body of Christ, we're going to know one another. Right? We're going to have relationships with other people. We were never meant to be alone. We weren't designed to be alone. We can't follow Jesus alone. Listen, we should have some relationships, deep and connected relationships within the body of Christ that are like family. So my question for us all this morning is this, is do you know people like that? Right? Do you know people so well that you'd say, man, they're like family to me. Man, we're connected. They cheer me on. They encourage me. You know, and I encourage them. And I guess the question that goes with it is this, is do people know you like that? Right? Have you opened up? Right? Do people know what you're passionate about what makes you come alive? Do people know the areas of your life that are a struggle for you, what you're afraid of? Maybe do they know what you're working towards? Are there people that come alongside you along the way that are praying for you, that are encouraging you, right, that are pushing you closer and closer to Christ? I want to encourage you, think about who those people are in your life. Right? And if you're thinking of some people right now, man, thank God for them. And if you're thinking right now, man, I don't know that I'm that close with anybody. I don't know that I really have friends like I see right here in Scripture. Let me encourage you that this morning, a very simple action step you can do is begin to work to change that, right? Because we all need to know people. Relationships matter. Community matters. I get to do a lot of weddings for people that have gone through the student ministry at our church. It's one of my favorite things in the world to do. And I love to talk to couples later down the road and say, hey, what have you learned in marriage that you would want to pass on to other couples as well? And on the 1-year anniversary of this one couple's wedding that I did, I asked them that question. You know what they said? They said, we would tell every couple that gets married that community matters, that the church family matters. They said, we struggled for 6 months, and we finally found it, and it has transformed our lives. It has transformed our marriage to be surrounded and loved by other people that love Christ and love us. Listen, I need that. You need that, right? If we look in God's Word, well, we see that Paul needed that, right? Paul's not letting Timothy go here. Right, he's keeping Timothy with him until he figures out what's going on with this trial. Paul literally needed someone to face his trial, right, because he's in prison, his trial with him. He needed help. And you and I need people to face the trials of life with us as well, because they're going to come. Right, we're going to deal with sickness and death in our family. We're going to deal with financial hardships or unemployment. We're going to deal with broken and fractured relationships. We're going to deal with bullies and people that just aren't nice to us at school. And listen, there are no shortage of hardships that we're going to face in life, but the amazing thing, the loving thing that God has done for us is this, is He has given us people to love us through each and every one of those situations. Listen, following Jesus means knowing people. It means having close relationships within the body of Christ, locking arms with other followers of Jesus and walking through life with them. And you might be thinking, that sounds great. How? Let me just say, it doesn't happen accidentally, right? It's something that we all have to be intentional about. In our church, it's hard to know everybody that's in this room, and so we try to get smaller. We have life groups. If you're in a life group, man, use that life group to build these kind of relationships. If you're not in one, let me just encourage you, every week for the past several weeks after the service, people have gone that way on the first floor. They've seen a sign that says connections. They've gone to our connection booth and said, hey, I need people. I need a community. Help me find a life group. If that's you today, if you don't have one, man, walk over there. I'm telling you, they would love to help you get connected. And just speaking from personal experience right now, man, our life group has made a major difference in the life of our family. Because I need people that are praying with me, that are praying for me. I need people that are walking through Scripture with me. I need people that are holding me accountable, that are pushing me closer to Christ. And Chelsea would say the same thing. She needs people that are walking with her, that are praying with her, that are encouraging her, that are doing life with her. And listen, we're not unique, right? Every single one of us needs those relationships in our life. Right? So in a passage of Scripture, right, where no one would admit their favorite verse is found, in a passage of Scripture where a lot of times we just sort of blow past and read over, okay, Paul's going to send these people, that's good. Let's jump to chapter 3 and read about how our citizenship is in heaven and get on that passage. Listen, in this passage that people skip over, right, we can see what it looks like for a normal person, an ordinary man, to follow Jesus. Right, we see that he loves people well. We see that he has relationships where he's known and where he knows others as well. And my encouragement to us this morning is not just to look at Timothy's example, but for each and every one of us to be willing to live out Timothy's example as well. I read a quote this week. I want you to think about this for a second. I'm going to read it slow and I'm going to read it twice. Quote this week: the problem in our churches is that we have too many spectators and not enough participants. Amen. Let me say it again. The problem in our churches is that we have too many spectators and not enough participants. This past fall, I helped coach a 5-year-old flag football team, and it was awesome. but it was hot. And so there were a couple of times in the season where we'd call time out and bring the kids over to the side for a water break. We'd give them water, and we'd get them pumped up. We'd put our hands in, one, two, three, you know, and do that whole thing. And then we'd turn around to see who's running on the field, and they all just sat down on the bench. Like, guys, what in the world? And they're like, man, it's hot. We don't want to go back out there right now. But here's the problem. If everybody's on the bench, you can't score a touchdown. Right? If everybody's on the bench, you can't move the ball down the field. I mean, you can't do what you're supposed to do as a team. And so as I read this passage and I see the example that's given here, man, I just want to say that we can't sit back and watch, right? That we can't expect other people to get out and to love people. We can't expect other people to approach us and to befriend us and to help us be known. Man, we have to get out and do what God's word says. But we've got to love people. We've got to seek to build those relationships with people right here within the body of Christ. There's a verse in James that sums up that quote that I just said. The book of James is a little bit later in your Bible after the book of Philippians. And this verse basically says this. It says, don't just be a hearer of the word, be a what? You've heard that verse. Don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. Timothy did it. We can see it. We can see someone just like me and you living out what God has called him to do. So my hope and my prayer for us is that we do it, right? That we wouldn't just see it, that we would live it out, right? That we'd love people. And listen, sometimes loving people and putting their needs above our own, it means things for us. It means that our schedule changes. It means maybe that we have to go out of our way to get something done. It might mean that we stay up a little later, we get up a little earlier, that we get tired. Listen, being obedient and following Jesus, loving people, it might mean opening up your home. It might mean opening up your wallet. It might mean just being there for people when they need something. But let me just tell you that it is worth it because it brings glory to Jesus and it brings life to people that are separated from Christ. And most of the time, it's not one big gesture and not one big act, right? Loving people is a day-by-day, moment-by-moment act of obedience, right? We don't do one big thing and check it off and say that we're done. I mean, the model that we have in Scripture, the call that we have on our lives as followers of Jesus is living moment by moment with this incredible love for God that overflows into a love for other people as well. So let's love people, let's know people, let's serve people, and just like Timothy, let's be about the work of Jesus. Would you pray with me? As we bow our heads this morning, I just want you to take a second to think about God's word, or to think about what we've looked at, to think about what we've read this morning, to think about that example that Timothy has given us. And as you're thinking about it, I just want you to take a second to pray. Whatever it is that God's laying on your heart right now, it could very simply be, man, God, help me to love people. Help me to think about people in a way that helps me to love them. And if that's what God's laying in your heart, man, just pray and ask Him to help you to love people and to love them well, just like we see in His Word.
We hope you are encouraged and challenged by what you heard today. If you'd like more information about Champion Forest Baptist Church, our service times, or how you can get connected, visit us at championforest.org. Thanks so much. Have a great day, and God bless.